Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock, and welcome to Vox Pop for this Thursday, April 12th. I'm Ray Graff. It's Computer Day on Vox Pop today. If you have a question about computer hardware, software, or your place on the internet and the social media scene, now's the time to call 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551 on this computer edition of Vox Pop. You can also email us voxpop@wamc.org. But again, our number is 800-348-2551. Tony Yang is here, owner-operator of Albany-based Gig Computers, and Cliff Rohde of Goat Cloud Communications in Schenectady. They are here to answer your questions. We begin after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Well, it's our computer show today, and today we have a dynamic duo of computer experts to answer your questions. We have Tony Yang and Cliff Rohde. Tony started Gig Computers in 1996 while studying at SUNY Albany. He began his company as a hobby in college, and it quickly blossomed into one of the largest PC retailers in the region. Tony manages networks for numerous companies and organizations, including this one, ranging from a few computers to many hundreds. Cliff runs the Schenectady-based digital marketing firm Goat Cloud Communications. The business offers website development and online presence services. If you have a question for Tony and or Cliff, the number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You may also email us, voxpop@wamc.org. Emails work well. We had a little glitch with the phone. If you were on the line earlier, you might want to call again. You know, it's this darned voice over IP thing, but we have it rebooted. Everything seems fine. And give us a call at 800-348-2551. Tony and Cliff, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Ray. Good to be here.
A delight to be here, Ray.
Cliff, it's been a while. What's new with you?
It has. I was beginning to think you guys didn't love me anymore.
Well, it's quite entirely possible.
Well, I understand.
I don't book the show, so I, you know.
I've been doing a lot of work helping people trying to get online, dealing with some hacked websites that were other people's, but yeah.
Oh, that's a chore.
You know, I was trying to think of like great things we could talk about online with all the bad news, you know, like ransomware in Atlanta and Facebook and et cetera. And
yeah.
I'm not sure where that is, actually.
Well, we could always talk about hardware as well. And Tony, what's new with you and what's new at Gig?
Well, we are almost done moving to our new location.
You have a new location?
Yes.
Oh, I'll be darned.
We moved down the street. We need a slightly bigger office than what we have.
Well, you see, times are good.
Almost there. Well,
that's great.
That's debatable, Ray.
Do you have to do your own moving or do you have your underlings do it for you?
Oh, no. I get my hands dirty.
You get Peter Mui to do that, right?
That's right.
Yeah, that's good. Well, it's great to have you guys back, and I know the lines are loading up. Anything you guys want to talk about just briefly before we start the show? We'll start with you, Cliff. Anything pressing?
Well, you know, I would say security. I always come back to that. We talk a lot about it on the show. Boy, just people need to be careful online. And there are so many ways to do it, but it's important to think about it because otherwise your information is exposed.
Yeah. And so what's the number one thing that a person can do who is a neophyte to protect themselves?
Well, for fear of using jargon, use a password manager. It's something you can attach to your browser that you use to go on the internet, and never use the same password on two different websites.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good advice. Tony Yang, what hardware things should we – last time you were on, we talked about all the new stuff you saw in Vegas.
Oh, yes.
And what's new now?
Well, the you know, security-wise, folks out there, if you got an AMD chip, make sure you get the latest patch because they discover a security flaw on AMD chips.
Oh, great!
So this time it's just specifically for AMD.
Oh, terrific!
So make sure you get your operating system updated as soon as you can to avoid any further.
Okay.
Complications.
All right. Well, I say we go to the phones now, as apparently everything is working okay. 800-348-2551 is the phone number. And let's go to Camilla in Westville, Massachusetts. Camilla, you're on.
Hi. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi.
My question is, like, what is the best computer as far as desktops to get right now?
All right, we try not to do specific brand endorsements here on the program, but these guys could probably give you a few ideas.
Okay.
Hi, Camilla. I would say, you know, you really should start out with a i5, an Intel i5 chip.
Okay. Why is that?
Because i3s are old. That's an older generation. Mm-hmm. i5s will give you a boost in speed. So because we can't mention specific names, I'll give you specs for them.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I can tell you that you know, there are lots of deals out there. TechBargains.com is a good place to go to look for deals. But i5 with about 8 gigs of RAM.
8 gigs, yeah.
And an SSD drive.
Okay, so let's talk about the solid-state drives. Now, we've talked about that previously on the program. In the beginning, prices were fairly high on those.
Yeah. That's no longer the case. I mean, you can get half a terabyte of SSD for a couple of $100.
That's amazing.
It's amazing. Yeah. That used to be in the thousands. And that can increase your speed 10, 20-fold. I mean, comparing to a old mechanical drive. So those three things are important. Minimal i5, 8 gigs of RAM, and an SSD drive.
All right, Camilla, thanks a lot. You have any of those solid-state drives, Cliff?
Well, you know, it's funny you should ask, because Tony and I were just talking about that before the show. I just went through an upgrade on my computer. Mm-hmm. It is actually an i5, and put the SSD drive in, and I could not be happier.
Really?
I mean, it just makes a huge difference
until they
in
go
performance.
Wrong.
Well, anything can go wrong. I have backups, so that's another thing to talk about, but yeah.
But, I mean, the thing is, in days past, when we had a whirling disk with all your information, if it went bad, a company like Tony's or others would say, okay, well, we can probably get most of your data off this. Now, what happens when the solid state goes bad?
There is there's a recovery process for that as well, but it's more complicated.
Yeah.
So, you know, backup. Like Cliff say, backup, backup, backup.
And I would add to that, too. I mean, all my data that I use is in the cloud. So I don't really keep anything but the operating system and the programs on the SSD.
I think that's, to me, as a paranoiac, to me, that is such a security risk. There's always somebody hacking into an iCloud account or some other cloud account. Why would you want it out there?
A couple of reasons. Convenience, right? That's the big trade-off. But you need to do your due diligence in terms of the types of cloud services you're going to use. Make sure that you use services that are reasonably secure. You know, any system, whether it's a cloud system, whether it's your hard drive or a notebook that you might carry around and write your passwords down in, it is hackable.
Yeah. There was a story across the Associated Press wire this morning about a hacker in, I think, in Connecticut. The details elude me at the moment, but he hacked into some famous people's cloud accounts. And I believe, you know, it was the classic spear phishing scam. He ended up sending an email saying, hey, you have to change your password, got the password to one, and then worked it through a whole bunch of people. So, you know, I guess discretion is the better part of valor.
There will always be bad guys out there trying to get you.
How do you stop them?
I don't think you can stop them from trying to get you.
No, you can't. You know, the just self-awareness of the bad stuff out there. If you get a link that seemingly is for, let's say, a bank account, typically, you know, lots of this stuff is bank account related, right?
Yeah.
Because they want to get your money.
Yeah.
So if you see a link, look. Don't just click on it. Because it says Bank of America on the link, doesn't mean that that's where it's going to take you.
Right.
You might want to just move your mouse on top of the link and see the actual underlined URL related to it. And if it's different, do not click on it.
That's a good plan. Phil in Skodak, you're next. Phil.
Hi. I have a laptop computer, IBM type, with Windows 7, and it just did an automatic update. Now my computer is running much slower. What do I do?
Hi, Phil. The updates, these patches for the CPUs to mitigate the security leaks that the chips have, does decrease the performance by about, depending on what you do, 15 to 20%.
Oh, that stinks.
You might be dealing with that. I I'm suspecting it might, you know, it, I don't know, 50-50, I will say. But that could be a part of the problem. Do a defrag and do a spamware removal, scan for viruses, you know, those things will be the basic stuff that you want to try.
And, you know, I might ask too, Phil, how old the computer is, because right, sometimes older computers have a little bit of trouble sometimes with the newer software. Sure. I mean, an update from 7 to a newer version of 7, I wouldn't expect to give too much trouble.
Yeah, that's a little unusual. That's right. I'm suggesting that perhaps, Phil, you should, you know, just scan it for viruses and spamware. They take a lot of resources on your computer, and hopefully that would get you going.
Would upgrading or increasing the RAM on Phil's computer possibly speed things up?
RAM and SSD.
Okay.
All the way.
All right. Phil, we have to take a break here, but thank you for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. Computers Today with Tony Yang and Cliff Rohde. Your calls, more of them coming up.
Support for WAMC comes from Grapes and Grains Wine and Spirits, East Greenbush, New York, offering wine and craft spirits from around the globe and from local artisans with weekly tastings, stocking single malts, bourbons, tequilas, and gins. GrapesandGrainsWine.com. Vermont Coffee Company, offering slow-roasted organic coffee in the brown paper bag at local grocery stores. Vermont Coffee Company, coffee roasted for friends. Colby Attorney Service, document filing, document and information retrieval, and other services including legal publishing and corporate record searches. ColbyService.com. The Arkell Museum at Canajoharie, presenting fine art animals from the collection of the Arkell Museum at Canajoharie through October 21st. More at arkellmuseum.org. And Schenectady Symphony, presenting final concert of the 84th season, featuring Russian Easter Overture by Rimsky-Korsakov, Beethoven's Piano Concerto No. 5, Young Kim Soloist. Proctor's, Sunday, April 22nd at 3 p.m. SchenectadySymphony.org.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you. 800-348-2551. The number, 800-348-2551. Cliff Rohde and Tony Yang are here to answer your computer questions. And gentlemen, a couple of emails came in, and we'll do those before we get back to the phones. This one's from Jan in Albany. I use Google Passwords website to save passwords on my iPad. Is that secure? That's from Jan.
Well, I mean, it certainly could be reasonably secure, Jan. Question that
I'm... That's a fairly qualified answer. It certainly could be fairly qualified.
It could be reasonably safe. You know, a question I would have is, what password do you use to log into your Google account? And is that password the same as other passwords you might use elsewhere? You know, one of the serious problems I see it all the time is that people will use the same password and even same email address across different accounts. And once you get that password once, well, what happens is people will try that everywhere. And if all of your passwords are linked to your Google account, you know, if someone gets that, they could conceivably get in and get a bunch of other passwords.
Keys to the kingdom. This one came in from East Chatham. Since you have a marketing professional on today, I will ask a marketing question. What is the latest advice on optimizing search results for a website? Are blogs still important? I would put in parentheses, were they ever important? Cliff.
Well, I think that the answer is yes, blogs are still important in the sense that blogs provide content. I don't know that there's a huge amount of difference between a blog and a website, really. Both of them are where you provide information about whatever it is you're concerned about. If you're a business, you're providing information about the types of services you provide, about issues that come up in your line of work. So to the extent that you're adding content to your website, that's always a good idea. Excuse me. And that's not really anything new. I mean, in terms of, new stuff going on with search engine optimization, we still come back to the tried and true methods, which is good content, make sure it's written well, make sure your website... Oh, you know, I will say one thing that is kind of new, even though and it relates to security as well, which is that websites need to be HTTPS now, because both search engines and browsers alike are telling visitors increasingly, hey, this site is insecure, don't go there.
All right, fair enough. This one came in from Justin in Phoenicia. I'm an online community manager and content creator for a nonprofit and wanted to ask, what should brands and companies who use Facebook's ad platform do to address the recent concerns raised at Mark Zuckerberg's recent testimony at the House and Senate hearings? Would it be prudent to directly communicate with our online communities, or would that cause unnecessary and unwarranted panic? Unsure the general public is aware of how much data Facebook collects through their cookies and through the use of Instagram, or that Instagram is Facebook. When that's from Justin. By the way, did you watch the hearings?
I listened to some of them, yes.
Good Lord, what a snooze fest that was.
Oh, boy.
Oh, you didn't like hearing about Diamond and Stone?
All right. Well, you answer the question, and I'll reserve
okay,
judgment
that was
on that.
Justin, right?
Yep.
Boy, Justin, that is a big question. That the answer is yes. No, I.
Let me start again. Would it be prudent to directly communicate with our online communities, or would that cause unnecessary panic? This is regarding Facebook's ad platform.
Right. Well, I think you're doing a service, truthfully, to people anytime you let them know about the types of services that you are providing. If you're an online community and you're using a Facebook service, you know, it's not obvious that everybody understands what Facebook does. And I mean, I don't know what Community Justin's is, but, you know, providing transparent information about these types of issues is pretty crucial.
Mm, okay.
Could that send people away, potentially?
And Justin's comment at the end, unsure the general public is aware of how much data Facebook collects. And one thing that was interesting before I nodded off was just how much they do collect. It's pretty amazing.
Well, I'm sorry. Yeah.
The answer to that is probably just about everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. As an advertising professional, it's wonderful because they collect so much information. It allows you to really drill down and target your advertising towards people that you really think are going to need your product or service.
Yeah.
As an individual, it's horrifying.
Yeah. Tony, you ever just wake up in the morning and say, God, I hate computers?
I'd be out of business. Right?
Right,
I can't
right,
say
right,
that.
Right, fair enough. Let's go back to the phones. You know, Harold was on the line when our phone system crashed, when our voice over IP system crashed. Harold in Rhinebeck, you're on.
Thank you. It's about the mouse and the touchpad. They don't respond to anything anymore. The mouse doesn't respond to my hand, and the touchpad doesn't respond to my finger. So the pointer is sort of going where it wants. It goes approximately where you're trying to put it, but not specific enough. So both of them are just not working.
Huh.
I didn't have to phrase it, if that makes sense.
All right, Tony, let's throw it over to you.
This is on your, I'm assuming, your laptop, because you mentioned a touchpad.
It's a Lenovo laptop.
Right.
A Lenovo laptop.
Yeah, you know, the having your touchpad and a mouse go bad at the same time is a bit unusual. That to me sounds more like a software related issue, maybe a driver related issue, to anything else.
So what driver would it be?
Normally, it's just a generic driver.
But driving what? The mouse pad?
The mouse and the touchpad, they all have drivers.
The same? Do they share a driver?
They don't. They're actually separate drivers. Typically, the touchpad is manufactured by Synaptic, and mouse could be anybody.
Okay.
Get the latest driver and give that a shot. You know, I still, when you have these weird problems, the first thing I always tell people is get the computer cleaned out, meaning don't wash it.
Right.
Ray, I know you're thinking, wash the computer.
Put it right in the car
yeah,
wash.
Right.
No, let's not do that.
Scan it for viruses, remove spamware on it, get it all cleaned out first, and then try the driver after that.
Yeah. Harold, is it laggy? Or it's just
okay,
not
thank
doing
you.
What it...
I'll try.
Okay, thanks a lot. We appreciate it very much. I suspect there's some lag to that, right?
Sounds like maybe.
Get rid of that. Get rid of all the junk. That's always a good start.
Yep.
Robert in Lake Placid. How's the weather in Lake Placid, Robert?
Well, it's getting mild, so that's a good thing.
All right, you're on, man. Oh. Go ahead.
Thank you so much. I'm a Larry. Check to me, so try to bear with me.
Okie doke.
Thank you.
Yep.
When I was in the hospital a couple of years ago with this operation, I came back and I found my computer totally useless, but it was going out in the first place, and I have all my files on it. I can't seem to get a straight answer about whether I can take the hard drive out and have it transferred onto a disk so that I can install it and retrieve my data and my files, and then just buy a new computer altogether and start brand new again.
Okay, that's
but a... I've got to get my files and my photos and my writings. I'm a writer, and I write a lot of stuff down, and unfortunately, I have a lot of it on emails.
Yeah, that's a good question, and I'm sure one that Tony has had to deal with many times. You want a new computer. You have an old computer that is no longer fully functional. You want to get all that data, all the emails, all the writings, all the pictures onto a new computer. Is that possible to do?
Yes, very possible, actually. As long as your drive is good, and I have no reason to suspect that your drive isn't good, Robert. The hard drive is a modular physical component. You can open up your PC, take the drive out, and literally connect it to the new computer, and all that data will be sitting in that drive, and free for you to copy it over at your leisure.
Are there programs that will let you ghost one to another?
Well, yes. Although I would be careful with that, because if you go onto your new machine's hard drive, you may not be able to boot the new PC up. So what we typically will recommend, normal user is get a external USB adapter. Mm-hmm. That way you can plug that drive using an external cable and plug it right onto your new computer's USB drive, and that will give you access to all the files on there.
Does that make sense to you, Robert?
Leave the hard drive in the computer itself and just connect it with a USB cable.
Oh, no, you will have to take that drive out of the old computer and plug it onto the USB cable.
All right, so how do you power then the drive? If you pull it out of the computer, then you have a USB adapter that connects to the drive, but does the USB supply enough power to get the...
So when I say cable, it's an adapter. It will come with a power supply.
I see.
To power your internal drive.
I didn't know about this. This is great.
Yep.
Well, Robert, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Cliff Rohde is here and Tony Yang is here, and they're here to answer your questions. 800-348-2551 on this computer edition of Vox Pop. Jack in Granby. Jack, you're on.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a laptop, which I inherited from my daughter. She convinced me that the Surface Pro I had gotten would be more useful to her than to me. And she had Windows 7 on it. I upgraded to Windows 10 when it came out. Now it says, you need the latest upgrade for security, et cetera, but it then says it can't do it. It can't do the upgrade. Unless I'm being scammed, any idea what's going on there?
I think we'll probably need some more information.
I was going to say that message sounds a little suspicious to me.
It was very when it first came up, had a button that said update now. I did not click it, but then when I went to my Windows history of updates, it had a bunch of failed to install things. Mm. So I initiated an update, and it said it couldn't do it. And gave me a message and a code to go to a website to tell Microsoft about it, except that then it says the proxy server won't allow port HTTPS. And that confuses me, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That goes to Tony's point before. Get the malware. On there.
That doesn't sound like a legit message. I actually have not seen that proxy statement before.
Uh-huh. Well, I wonder if it's maybe trying to connect, but he's got some kind of antivirus blocking the connection, perhaps.
Yeah. Huh. Clean it out.
Okay.
Wipe the...
Okay. I get periodic Windows Defender checked your machine and said you're clear.
Always good to get a second opinion.
That's right. Uh-huh. I would, Windows Defender is pretty good.
Yeah.
But you might want to try, something like a McAfee or a Symantec out there and just give it another scan. The Malwarebytes.
What about it?
please download that. It's
free. Oh, yeah. It's a free download.
Any
yeah.
clues, though, about when I go into settings and look at the update history, it says, I don't remember the numbers, but they're like a 1709 versus a 1607 and so on, and says failed to update.
Yep, that will happen, actually, on most updates. And what you want to do is just keep running it. If you got a stack of updates, some of the updates will not install because the other updates haven't yeah. been installed yet. So you may just have this one that you have to get over.
Hey, Jack, just a little bit of advice that if you have this problem, search the exact code that you get, the error message. I know this because we have an original Series Surface at my house. And it's, I think, Windows 10, and it won't do the updates. And so I searched it out, and there is a specific, like, order of things you have to do to make it happen on these older machines sometimes. So it behooves you maybe to just take a quick search on the Internet. And, again, don't get one opinion. Look at a few and take a consensus. But there may be something
searching for that code makes sense.
Yeah, man. Well, good luck with that. Thanks a lot. We appreciate the call. 800-348-2551. Tony Yang is here and Cliff Rohde, and they're answering your computer questions. We go over to Saugerties. Christine is on. Christine.
Hi. Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Good.
All right.
Can you hear? Good. I have an external hard drive that crashed several years ago, and it has about 10 to 15 years of family photographs on it. And I keep it precious in an envelope in the side of my desk, hoping that someday I will be able to retrieve the data on it. No, nothing was backed up. I've been told it would cost about $1,500,
ouch,
and then it would need to be opened up in a clean room and rebuilt.
$1,500?
Really,
that's highway robbery.
Not 15. Yeah, 1,500. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I think Tony's mad at me now.
It would cost about $1,000 to $1,500 to open it up in a clean room and rebuild the housing so that the disc can be
okay. Without getting into the prices, Tony, do you have to go into a clean room to do this?
You really should.
Really?
Because once you pop that drive open, dirt gets on it. It gets very, very complicated. So that would be, you know, if you're not going to use a clean room, that would be your... To open it up in just a normal room, that's your last resort.
But is it not just the motor that's stopped spinning on the old hard drive?
Most of the time it is.
So why can't you just replace the motor?
You have to do that in a clean room because if dirt gets on that platter, you're in trouble.
And the platter is completely exposed?
It is completely yes.
What a terrible design.
I've only got it to work once, believe it or not, in open air.
Really?
Yep.
Why did you have to do it in open air?
We didn't want to pay the $1,500. Actually, you know, in fact, Christine, that's not a bad price. Some of the places that we deal with, they don't look at it for less than $3,000.
Wow. Yeah. Holy mackerel. But so
really?
That's, but unfortunately,
so,
Christine
really
has a
reasonable price.
It's not bad if it's something that's vital to you. That's not a bad price to pay, unfortunately.
And we really don't do prices on this program specifically, but I certainly feel your pain. You want to get that information back. It's a sticky wicket, as they say.
Christine, put it in the freezer.
Yeah.
Put it in the freezer.
Seal it. Airtight. Put it in freezer for 24 hours and then give it a shot.
Oh, that's good.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you hear that one, Christine?
What do you mean, give it a shot?
just try it. You know, at this point, as long as you don't open it, you're not going to lose anything.
So take the hard drive out.
Ziploc. Like a Ziploc bag. Make sure it's airtight. Throw it in the freezer for 24 hours and then give it a shot.
Wow.
What does that do?
Oh, it's been out of its plastic housing for years. Like, the guy that told me $1,500 was, he just took it apart and never put it back together again.
Yikes.
So I just have, like, the metal hard drive.
Oh,
right.
That's great.
That's
yeah.
okay. Same idea. As long as he hasn't removed the air sealed.
Right.
On the platter, you're going to be fine.
So take the whole hard drive itself into a airtight bag and freeze it, is what you're
saying.
That's right. Well, it's worth a shot. Christine, good luck. Our number is 800-348-2551. It's Vox Pop, and we talk computers today with Cliff Rohde and Tony Yang. And we'll take one more here before the next break. Shane in Clifton Park. Shane, you're on.
Hi there. First-time caller. Love WAMC. Love the show.
Nice to have you here.
Hi, Shane. Hello.
Thank you. Hi. All right, question for you. I have an older HP EliteBook, maybe 10 years old now. really only use it for like going onto my bank account and stuff like that. It's not really used for web browsing. It sits up in an office and really only gets used for office style stuff, printing out an email or two here and there. And all of a sudden recently, I've had a couple of drivers seem to stop working. On a reboot, I noticed it sits on a docking station, and a mouse that plugs into the back of the docking station stopped working. And I also noticed the audio drivers stopped working. Just wondering if you think this could be a hard drive going bad, or some thoughts on what you think it might be. I ran antivirus and a malware, but like I said, it doesn't really get used for that. Nothing was found. So I don't think it's anything like that. I think it's maybe something like the hard drive going bad, or I'm not sure. I just wanted to hear your thoughts.
10 years is ancient.
Yeah.
Having had a 12-year-old computer for a long time, it's really old.
Shane, the 10-year-old PC, it's time to look at a new one. It could be a number of things. You know, when it's 10 years old, I wouldn't spend much more money on that and just go out there and look for a replacement.
All righty. I guess I'll have to do that. Bite the bullet.
All right.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks a lot, Shane. We appreciate it. We'll take a break here. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. 800-348-2551. Cliff Rohde and Tony Yang answer your questions. Home stretch straight ahead.
Support for WAMC comes from Stone Soup Concrete, specializing in handcrafted and environmentally sound concrete countertops, sinks, furniture, and floors. Serving the Northeast since 2001. StoneSoupConcrete.com and on Facebook. George Heigl Antiques, Ballston Spa, New York, offering estate sale services including management, appraisals, and evaluations for individuals, families, and businesses. 518-396-7974. The Henyon Bakery, Amherst, since 1993, offering hearth-baked whole grain breads, pastries, birthday, wedding, and special occasion cakes, as well as gluten-free offerings. HenyonBakery.com. Department of Theater Arts, SUNY New Paltz, presenting Avenue Q, a bawdy musical following the people, puppets, pranks of a precocious neighborhood. April 19th through 29th, newpaltz.edu/theater. And Whitney's Farm Market and Country Gardens, Cheshire, Massachusetts. Now open for the season with garden supplies, organic fertilizers, mulch, cold hardy annuals and perennials, pansies, flowering trees, shrubs, and more. Whitney'sFarm.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here, 800-348-2551 is the number, and we have Cliff Rohde and Tony Yang to answer your computer questions today, and we'll get right back to the phones, but this one came in via email from Suzanne, subject heading, transferring to a new MacBook. I'm about to upgrade my older model MacBook Pro to a new model. I use both Carbonite and Apple Cloud Storage. Are these redundant, and am I better off with one or the other when transferring data and files to the new laptop? From Suzanne.
Well, I might suggest on that one that, first of all, redundancy is a good thing when it comes to data. So having Carbonite, and so for people who don't know, that's a backup service and is really intended as a backup service, which is a bit different from iCloud, which is meant to be a cloud storage place where you just put your data. My sense is that from a technical standpoint, it's probably going to be easier to copy the data from iCloud to the new machine if that's the desire, or just leave it on iCloud. And I don't use Macs as much, but it could very well back it up automatically or pop it back on the new machine once you get that linked to your iCloud account. And then just have Carbonite there working in the background, backing everything up.
Tony, you good with that?
Yep, I agree with that. My opinion about backups is you can't have too many.
All right. This no one doubt. Is from Kevin in Goshen. I've received two emails within the past month suggesting I update my BIOS via the link within the email. I'm naturally hesitant to do this, but I'm having a difficult time contacting Dell to confirm if this is a legit update notification or not. Is getting a BIOS update via email the industry standard, or are my suspicions warranted? And that's from Kevin in Goshen.
Getting an email regarding a BIOS update. Yeah. That seems a bit suspicious, don't you think, Cliff?
I do think so, Tony. Yeah. Yes, I think Kevin is right to be leery of that one. Okay. Delete that email.
All right, fair enough. Back to the phones we go at 800-348-2551. Mira. Hello? Is this Myra or
Hi.
Mira?
Myra.
Myra, you're on.
Hi, thanks. I recently bought a mini camera that uses a micro SD card up to 64 gigabytes. However, I'm finding it very difficult to actually format it to a FAT32, which is what it needs. It seems that Windows won't do it for 64. Is that your knowledge, or can you tell me how to do that?
For those who don't know, tell us what FAT32 is or was.
For me?
No. No, I was asking our computer experts. I got a feeling you know what it is. Go ahead, just for okay. those who don't know.
The FAT32 was the new kind of file storage size standard for you to enable the larger drives
That's
to be
old,
used.
That's old, though, yeah, isn't it?
It's pretty old. I mean, these days, you know, it's mostly NTSF. FAT32, I'm trying to remember what size that goes up to. 64 gigs, I think it is within range. So you really shouldn't have a problem formatting 64 gigs using FAT32. In fact, most SD cards...
It doesn't seem to come up.
Yeah, most SD cards do come in a FAT file table. So you may be dealing with some other problem. Try it. If you have a Windows 7 machine versus a Windows 10 machine, try on a Windows 7. You might find it a little easier to do it on a Windows 7 machine.
Oh, okay. I can go backwards.
Yeah.
I have access to another computer
that has
an older Windows.
Yeah. That's a good start, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. Okay.
All right, Myra, thanks a lot for the call. It's 800-348-2551. Computers Today on Vox Pop. And Stephen in Pittsfield. Stephen, you're on.
Hi, guys. I hope this is a stupid question.
Oh, I like those.
With a simple answer. Yeah. I wouldn't be embarrassed, believe me. I've got a laptop. It's a Toshiba PC. And I've played DVDs on it many times. But for some reason, the control panel now is dimmed. The only thing lit up on it at the bottom is the eject, which I can do. If I click on it, the thing pops out. Or, you know, enlarge the screen. That's it. And I can't play a DVD. And I've tried different DVDs. I've tried ones that I've never played before. I've tried ones that I have played perfectly well before. I don't know what happened.
The drive could be bad, and that happens all the time. These mechanical drives, they go. Fortunately, these are all modular pieces, so you can buy a piece and just replace it.
You think it's hardware and not software?
Sounds like a hardware issue. If the eject button works and nothing else is
But it's a virtual eject, but it's on the screen, right? And it's a virtual eject icon. And everything else is dim? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It does seem strange.
Why don't you try another DVD program?
Another DVD? How do I do that?
Can't you use many different kinds of software to play a DVD?
Oh, yeah. Sure. What do I... VLC, media player. That's the best one. It's free and it runs everything. So
what is it? DLC? Did you say
Victor?
Yep.
VLC.
VLC
media player.
Media player.
Yeah, it's an excellent.
And that's free,
excellent,
huh?
Yeah, it's an excellent media player.
I mean, give that a shot, and then if it still doesn't work, then
just Google it.
Oh yeah, Google it, and it'll pop right up.
And if it still doesn't work, then maybe it is the hardware. Stephen, thanks a lot for the call. Let's see. Who's been waiting longest here? Richard on the Northway. Richard, you're on.
Yeah, hi. I've got a, I believe is a phishing scam.
Oh, boy.
If I could try to keep it simple. I am the president of a local artist society. And the treasurer was on vacation in Hawaii. You know, I guess she was forced to go or something like that. Tough trip. Anyway,
tough life.
While she was there, she got an email supposedly from me with my email address stating that there were a financial event occurred, and that I needed her financials. You know, that they wanted to extract her financials from her. So that they could probably get into her accounts.
Right.
While I was at a board meeting yesterday, the the subject came up. We had dealt with it online and stuff like that, but the former president of the organization said, yeah, a couple weeks ago, I also got an email, a similar email, asking for my financial data and from me, Richard, okay, the president, and I chose to, you know, kill the email and not do anything about it. So somehow through a filter that someone is running that detects, you know, looks for keywords like president, treasurer, things like that of an organization, someone has is scamming in such a way they're scamming the board with my email address. Go ahead.
Okay.
So, I mean, I'd say in this case that, Richard, your email has either been spoofed or hacked. And what I mean by that is that, you know, I would check to make sure that your password is okay. You probably want to change your password to make sure that no one is accessing your email account other than you. In terms of spoofing, you know, it's something that you may need to bring up with your email provider just to make sure that there's different settings that you can put into place to prevent people from being able to masquerade themselves as you.
As a matter of course, is this something, does this rise to a level that you can alert the FBI or state police, something like this, that's a fairly specific and obviously targeted attack?
A few months ago, I actually called the FBI because I thought I was being very, very specifically targeted.
Yeah.
When I got on the phone, I felt like an idiot.
Really?
Because it was happening apparently to tens of thousands of people. So I would say in a situation like this, probably no.
Okay.
I'm thinking that this is happening all over the place.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Mean, you can contact them.
Right.
But it's
chances
not go
are they're
anywhere.
Not going to. Yeah.
Richard, you want to follow up here?
Yeah, so I will contact my – so I'll change my password. I have run McAfee. I've done Windows Update. I've done Malwarebytes Pro, you know, all those things just to try to see if I could catch anything that's resident on my on my system. But that probably can't go that deep into my email. So, so I needed to – so I should contact Gmail and Spectrum, or just Gmail?
So this, your email account is a Gmail account?
Yes.
It's probably going to be tough to contact Google on that because those are free email accounts.
Sure.
And
yep.
You can't get so far with that.
Yep.
But, you know, you definitely changed the password.
Yep, that's a good start.
Yep.
All right, Richard, thank you for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. Claire in Lee, Mass. Claire, you're on.
Hi, I'm curious about iCloud. I have loaded things up to iCloud, and I guess I've done some different things over time, and now I have an iCloud Drive Archive 2, an Archive 1, and Archive, and an iCloud. I'm wondering, is there some safe way I can sync these, or and how did they come about? Was it something I did when I was trying to learn about iCloud, and I still don't totally understand what's happening? So,
sure. Well, it sounds like there are multiple accounts created probably with different email addresses. Correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think I was thinking iCloud is linked to an email address. That's a very common way that a service will limit.
Sometimes when I'm searching for something, I'll come up with like about 20 copies of the same file and exact same copies, and it's just really hard doing searches.
Yep. You may have multiple instances.
Okay. Go ahead.
I think you may have multiple instances of a software running on your machine that is somehow looking to the same folder, and so it's copying in different places. What you might want to do, is this a Windows machine or a Mac machine?
It's a Mac. Yeah. It's a MacBook Air, and it's totally up to date with, the 10.3 High Sierra. My browser is a Sapphire. what is it, Sphere, Safari.
Okay.
And it's up to date. So it's definitely something I've done, and I'm just wondering how to correct it.
Okay.
I'm afraid to eliminate anything here.
Well, remember that one of the things with these cloud services that makes them so wonderful is actually you can access them from a variety of devices. And so I suppose it's not inconceivable that, you know, files are being created on one place, being brought up to iCloud, and then you're seeing multiple copies there, you know, without kind of seeing what's going on on your computer. It's a little bit hard to figure out exactly what it is.
All right, Claire. Well, good luck. Thanks for the call. This one came in via email from Barry in Montgomery. When I click on a link in PDF format, page after page after page keep loading rapid fire. I never reach the page. Windows 7.
That sounds like a malware problem for sure.
Yeah?
Yeah, if you're clicking on a link and things are just popping all over the place, I would be... you know, I'll be careful with that. And
so clean that puppy. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Clean that up.
All right. Very good. Back to the phones. And Tom in Albany. Tom, you're on.
Hi. Thank you. Actually, I have one quick recommendation for the customer who called about their email.
Yeah.
If you think your computer's compromised, you may not want to change your password on that same computer, because when you do, they'll get the password again. But my quick question was, like, you know, earlier caller, I have an older PC, so I was wondering what specs I should be looking for in a PC, you know, that I want to keep at a relatively low price.
All right.
i5, 8 gigs of RAM, SSD drive, okay. Windows 10. Mm-hmm. I forgot to mention Windows 10.
Well, okay.
That's pretty standard these days.
i5, SSD drive, Windows 10.
8 gigs of RAM.
8 gigs of RAM.
Minimal.
Okay, perfect. And then one last. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
TechBargains.com. Great bargains on tech stuff.
Oh, there you go. All right, okay. One last question, Tom. Go ahead.
Yeah, my old computer is running Windows. Is there like a lighter version of Windows that I could use like a media server?
There is a tablet version of Windows 10.
Yeah. And they run that on the Surface.
Windows 10 is pretty thin.
Yep.
You know, it senses what you're installing it on, and it's a pretty thin OS already on its own.
Okay.
Okay.
So I think you're gonna be okay.
All right, Tom. Thank you very much.
There's always Linux.
There's always Linux.
It's almost the end of the show. It took you a long time, Cliff.
I know. Well.
All right.
Can of worms.
Tim in Albany. Tim, you're
could
on.
Be anyways.
Hi guys. Thanks for taking my call. I run a gaming desktop, and I recently just got a SSD to kind of swap over Windows and some of the games just to like make things run a little quicker for me.
Yeah.
I've got the hardware for it, but I haven't installed it. Is there anything I got to do as far as getting the SSD installed in my tower?
Cliff, I think you should take
like
that one because you just
I need
did that.
Transfer Windows over or anything like that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Tim. I just did this on my own computer very recently. I used a piece of software from Paragon Software. There may be other makers out there too that allows an easy migration of the OS from one drive to another. The problem that I found, I was telling Tony earlier, was that didn't recognize the drive at first. Once I migrated the OS, didn't recognize the SSD drive as the boot drive. What I had to do was unplug the original C drive and then reboot the machine. The machine saw the SSD drive, made that the boot drive, and then I turned the machine off, plugged the C drive back in, and voila.
Oh, how about that? Yep. Couldn't you just do that in the BIOS?
I could not see the BIOS screen on my computer. I don't know why.
Amazing.
So, Tim, Paragon is a excellent piece of software. We use that all the time to image drives. So when you're using it, just make sure you do a disk-to-disk copy. That way it will copy every single partition and every single sector of the drive, and you should be good to go.
All right. Well, Tim, thanks a lot. We'll have to leave it there, and that's just about it for the program. Cliff Rohde, how do people find out more about Goat Cloud Communications?
Well, if they would be kind enough to visit goatcloud.com.
No hyphen or anything?
Just no hyphens.
One word,
just
Goat Cloud?
One goat, one cloud.
All right, fair enough. Tony Yang, Gig Computers.
GIGsystems.com.
All right, and you'll be back with us here in the States for a while? I know you were traveling in the Caribbean for a while.
Yes, yes.
So you'll be back here on solid ground?
Oh, yes. I hope so. more traveling. It was tiring.
Well, thank you both very much for being here today. Support comes from Mass Match. For over 16 years, a locally owned dating and matchmaking service connecting singles through private matchmaking in Western Massachusetts and beyond. MassMatch.com. Interim Healthcare, for 47 years helping families keep loved ones at home, providing companions, aides, and nurses in the greater capital region, Columbia and Saratoga counties, and Glens Falls, interimhealthcare.com. Identity Eyewear, Albany, New York, specializing in distinctive eyewear, including Zenka from Paris and Coco Song from Italy. Eye exams by appointment, EYEDENTITY Eyewear, Albany.com. And the Waldorf School of Saratoga Springs, giving children the education and tools for the challenges of an ever-changing world, WaldorfSaratoga.org. Well, thanks again to Tony Yang of Gig Computers and Cliff Rohde of Goat Cloud Communications for being here today. Thank you for listening and for some great calls and great emails today. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our intrepid engineer. Your phones were answered by Deb Malik, and our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, we're taking it back to the basics of cooking on a Food Friday with author Jennifer Clare. So that's tomorrow at 2. Right now, stand by for news.